Hello out there in Na'ala Land. We're resuming our series on honorable mention. Today we're going to delve into Chesed. This class is Leila Nishmas Racha Leib Asr Chaim Tzvi Aleh Shalom. It's being brought to you from the beautiful studio of Na'ala in downtown Jerusalem. We want to thank Rabbi Baumzer in the studio who's helping us and assisting in today's filming. Now we get on to Chesed, which is a word which almost defies translation, Chesed, translated usually as kindness, often as loving kindness. Now in the world at large, kindness is considered something which is a positive attribute. Like saying she's a wonderful person, she's a kind person, it's a perk, it's something which is not essential but a really nice attribute to have. But it's not something which can be considered to be something which can be regulated, certainly not legislated. However, Jewish tradition teaches us, indeed the halacha, and if you look at Ahavas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a Shulchan Aruch. He codified all the laws which are pertinent to Chesed. There are laws and laws and laws. Now true, it's not that thick a book, but it has changed Jewish life. And I'm not going to delve into this because on other occasions, through Na'aleh, we've spoken about what Ahavas Chesed, or in English, Ahavat Chesed, has done. Okay. Now, the rabbis have taught us that giving kindness, engaging in kindness, is superior to charity in three ways. This is based on a Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Tes Amud Beis, 49 on the second side. Firstly, charity is done only with your money, but kindness can be performed with your body and your money. So in that way, kindness trumps charity. The second way, why is charity inferior to kindness? Because charity is only given to the poor, but kindness can be given to the poor and the rich alike. Another way that kindness is superior over charity. And thirdly, what's the advantage? Says the Gemara in Sukkah, that charity is only dispensed to the living, whereas kindness can be done to the living and the dead as well. One example we all know about doing kindness for the dead is a relative who says Kaddish on behalf of the one who has passed away, doing things in their merit, that's a kindness to one. Now, charity can only be done, obviously, with one who is alive. For one who is no longer living, this is called chesed shel emet, is the ultimate in kindness. Because whenever you do an act and engage of kindness, there's always the anticipation and the hope that there may be a tit for tat, and I give you something, you'll wash my hand. Chesed shel emet, if you bury someone, or you prepare them for burial, obviously, you can never anticipate this person will pay you back. That's the ultimate of kindness. It's chesed shel emet. And emet itself, the word, aleph mem tof, is the critical word because it has everything. It is the most grounded word. It begins with the first letter of the aleph base. It ends with the last letter. In the middle is the middle letter. And every letter has 2 feet. It's very well ensconced on earth, on this terra firma. Aleph has 2 legs, mem has 2 legs, and tof has 2 legs. Very well grounded. Whereas sheker, the antithesis, lying, has only 1 legs. It's easy to fall over. Sheker ein la raglayim. Okay, now, one more difference between charity and kindness is charity is generosity with money. Kindness is generosity with time. Some people are more benevolent, philanthropic with their time. Some are more philanthropic with their money. But actually, with kindness, you can do both time and money. So the Torah teaches, it's a Gemara in Soita, the Torah begins with acts of kindness, and it ends with acts of kindness, and it begins with kindness because God made Adam and Chava, when they discovered that they were naked, he clothed them, so that's how the Torah begins, it does kindness. And likewise, it describes, in the end of Dvarim, how Moshe was buried in the valley by God. It ends with an act of chesed, God burying Moshe who's passed away. So we begin with kindness, and we end with kindness, and all the interim is all about kindness. There should be no mistake whatsoever about the priority, the emphasis that the Torah places on engaging in kindness. Furthermore, the prophets interpret, and here I'm delving into the wonderful book of Rabbi Joseph Telushkin, who's codified in his own very nice, contemporaneous way, laws pertinent to how to act one person to another, and he brings the point regarding the prophets, who stress so much that the central demands of a human being is to be a kind person. Now, often we associate religious acts with ritual acts. So Hosea says to the contrary. He says, Hosea, for its kindness I desire and not sacrifice. That's in the 6th chapter of Hosea. Furthermore, as we're all familiar, the book of Ruth, Megillas Rus, is exclusively about doing kindness. And according to the Medrash Rus Rabbah, there are no mention of ritual laws at all. And So someone asked Rav Zeira, why is it that you find, this is also in that Medrash Rus Rabbah, why is it that Rus, which has no ritual laws, I mean, the Gemara does derive laws out of the Megillah, but, you know, as you read a prima facie, there are no ritual laws. Why then was it canonized into Tanakh, into the Bible? And says Rav Zeira, it teaches how great is the reward of those who engage in acts of kindness. Okay, so the Mishnah, we know Mishnah actually, again, we can quote the Navi, the famous, very famous pasuk from Micha. The three most important demands of human beings, says Micha, is doing justice, walking humbly with God, and loving kindness. So in other words, to depict the ideal human being, God wishes people who act with kindness. And not only who engage and act in kindness, but those who love doing so. As Micha says it, not only does Micha say it, but the Chafetz Chaim says there's two levels. There's engaging in chesed, and then there is avas chesed, to crave, to love, to really desire that you should be involved in loving kindness. And we all know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that when it's one of the three pillars that support the world, on which the world is anchored, the world stands on three pillars, on Torah, on work, and on gemilut chasadim, on doing kindness. So I once heard from Rabbi Lev, I always pictured it, three pillars, picture a three-legged stool, and you take away one leg, then the world will collapse. The world needs to have chesed, the world needs to have service of God, avoda, needs to have Torah learning. Each one is a pillar. You take away one leg, it will collapse. I heard from Rabbi Lev, don't look at it as three equal legs, but rather think of topography. Torah, underneath is avoda, is service of God, underneath is kindness. In other words, kindness is the very support, the foundation, which holds up the world. It's not like an equal one-third, it's not one-third, it's really the total foundation. Without that, the building, the world would collapse. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara in Beitza. Now, first of all, the Gemara says in Yevamos that the performance of kind deeds is something which characterizes a Jew. Then the Gemara says something much sharper in the Gemara Beitza, and the Gemara says that if you see someone who claims to be Jewish but acts in an unkindly way, you should investigate their lineage, because the Gemara has reason to suspect that they are in fact not Jewish. It is such an intrinsic Jewish characteristic to be kind that if someone proves to be cruel, mean-spirited, then go check into the lineage. Very interesting, yet the Talmud does not suggest that we check someone's lineage if they violate a religious attribute. Someone says they're Jewish and that they eat non-kosher food, we don't right away think they're probably not Jewish. We may think they're not religious, but we don't think they're not Jewish. But mean as the rabbis teach places one outside the camp of the Jewish people, and their lineage must be investigated. Okay, now here's a topic we're going to delve in just moderately now, which is anonymity in giving. And I want to give, I don't think I've ever done this before, but I want to give a coming attraction and a heads up about an upcoming class we're going to have, God willing, about Rambam's eight levels of charity. So please stay tuned for that class on the eight levels of charity. That should be a banner class. And the Rambam stresses in three of his eight levels how critical anonymity is. Here I'm just going to suffice with telling a story of and here I refer you to it's a story that Rav Shlomo Karlach made quite famous with Yasla the Holy Miser. Yasala, Yasala. Checking with my studio staff if I'm getting this right. And you'll find the story written, I think, in quite a moving way in the book Courtrooms of the Mind by Chanoch Teller. And what happened was, in Krakow, Yasla was a man who was very wealthy and despised by everyone. He just would not part. He was a tightwad, would not part with his money. And people would come to him, and he would seem to be listening sympathetically to their needs. He'd ask them questions about how much do they need, where do they live. And then after listening to everything, he said, "We just get out of here. How ridiculous could this be? You expect me to part with my hard-earned money and give it to you? Forget about it." And people walk out. You know, here he seemed to be sympathetic and empathetic, and he just whisks them out of the house. And then Yassel got very sick. The Chevek Kedishim paid him a visit and said, "Listen here, Herzachain, if you're not going to give away your money to charity now, it's your chance to rectify your life that has been cheap and miserly and niggardly, but if you can rectify this now by giving to the poor, you'll get the kind of burial that a person who is generous and benevolent and philanthropic deserves." And Yassel threw them out. He said, "Listen here, unless you give to charity, we're going to leave your body untouched, and we will not bury it." Sure enough, he passed away. And the Chevek Kedisha, the burial society, kept their word, and they did not bury him. That Thursday, one of the poor people in town came to the rabbi, said, "Rabbi, I can't manage. I just can't manage. I don't have enough money to get ready for Shabbos." The rabbi listened to him sympathetically, gave him a few rubles, and he said, I'm curious, how did you manage till now? You've never come to me before. He said, "Well, every Thursday I got that envelope with the money at my doorstep." The rabbi scratched his head and figured this must come from the local chesed organization in town. So he called them up, meaning he sent over a courier, and asked them, "Where is the money that you're giving to this person on a Thursday in an envelope?" He said, "We don't know what you're talking about." No sooner had this person come back and told the rabbi that they had not dispatched money, and there's another knock on his door. And there was another beggar, and the woman said, I can't manage. I have a family to feed. There's no money." "What do you mean there's no money? Every Thursday I was given money in an envelope, but today it didn't show up." And the rabbi said, "You sure you got an envelope?" And he gave her some rubles. And all day long, one person after another person from all different shapes and sizes, hot and cold, every stripe of Jew, came to the rabbi and said, "We're not going to manage." The rabbi quickly ran out of money. He didn't know what to do. And then after a little investigation, he discovered that each and every person had one thing in common. They'd all gone to Yossel the miser and asked him for money. He conducted his interview, and then he sent them out of the house without giving them a penny. And then he realized, that it was Yasla, the person which they'd all despised, and felt that he was such a tightwad, who had given these people money anonymously. And the rabbi announced that today there'll be a burial of Yasla, and everyone is to attend. And needlessly, all the poor people came as well. And Yasla left a note, leaving all his money behind that remained to give to the poor people. Remarkably, when the Chevra Kedisha, when the burial society went to the house, they found his body had not decayed at all. They gave him a funeral with pomp and circumstances he deserved, and he maintained all his life total anonymity and his philanthropy to the people, to the poor people of Krakow. Okay, now we have to look always for opportunities to give of ourselves, give of our kindness. And I'm going to quote from Rabbi Avram Ehrman's book, Journey to Virtue. We've quoted that before. And other suggestions I have from a book called The Chesed Boomerang by Jack Dweck. And each one of these, I think, is pertinent, things that are very, very simple to inculcate in our daily lives. Let me read to you. Firstly, something we can all do, chesed, we can all engage in, picking up trash from the sidewalk and putting it where it belongs. Next, giving up your seat on the train or bus to an elderly person or someone else who might need it. Next, helping someone cross the street, which could be a blind person, a senior citizen, a child, a person with a handicap. And another idea, allowing another driver to merge into your lane on the highway and doing so in a pleasant way, instead of thinking that they're a murderer taking away your spot. And grace, someone go in front of you, instead of thinking they're cutting you. Okay, another idea, speaking with a homeless person on the street and really listening to him or her. Boy, does that evoke a lot of smiles. First, they don't know what you're doing, but I try and do that, to try and listen with a heart to someone who's down on their luck. Next, giving your old clothes directly to homeless people and seeing the people who need it will get it. And finding someone doing something good and praising him or her. That's a chesed. Encouraging your children to donate their old toys that are still in good condition to children who might need and appreciate them. And the last suggestion, all this has been called by Rabbi Joseph Telushkin, at a social gathering, initiate a dialogue with someone who appears left out. Similarly, in a public setting, paying attention to the less popular individuals present rather than the giving your attention to those that are less popular than those people that are social butterflies, because those who are popular get more than their share of attention. So if you find someone who seems to be left out, affording them attention is really a wonderful chesed to do. So let's end today's session with one more quite famous story. It's really a story based on Rav Moshe Leib of Sasov, who lived at the end of the 1700s, the great Hasidic master. And it's a story written by Isaac Leib Peretz, one of the famous Hebraist writers. And the story is known as Im Lo Lamalaze. The story goes like this. There was a misnagid. A misnagid means an opponent of the Hasidic movement. And the misnagdim, at least the original ones, were really quite opposed. Hence they got their title as the opponents, and he felt that all this adoration and all this praise heaped on the Hasidic Rebbes was ridiculous, it was out of place, it was too inflated, undeserving, and he felt it's time to get people straightened out to realize that you're just making a big deal out of nothing. And in his town, the Hasidim were so crazy about the Rebbe, so he came to the town, and it was between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He said, where's the Rebbe? He said, why, the Rebbe is gegangen, he went to say Slichos in Himmel. He went to say Slichos, the penitential prayers that are said from before Rosh Hashanah through all the way till Yom Kippur. He went to say those prayers in heaven. Oh, he said, give me a break, give me a break. Come on, you can't believe something as ridiculous and foolish. We're telling you, that's where he went. He just felt once and for all he had to put people in their place, let them understand. So the Rebbe did an ambush, hiding outside the Rebbe's house early in the morning. He says, the Rebbe get dressed, not in rabbinic clothing, but dressing like a lumberjack with a rope of a peasant hanging out of his side and an axe tucked into his belt. He goes out of the house and goes into the forest. He finds a young tree, which he fells. He takes the tree and then he cuts it into logs, which he brings to the house of an old, poor, sickly woman. He knocks on the door and the woman says, who's there? He says, it's Vasil. Simple Russian-Polish name. What do you want from me? I've come to bring you wood. She'll have timber to light your fire. But I don't have any money, and I'm sick. He said, I'll just charge you a few pennies, but I don't have anything. You know what? You just give me a few pennies. Don't give me pennies now. But don't be silly. If you trust God, then certainly you can trust me, and I'll trust you. Just a few pennies whenever you have a chance, but I can't set the fire. Leave it to me. He goes into the house. He straightens up. He puts the fire inside, gets it started. He fans the fire till it's good and roaring and warm. And he walks out. And when he sees this, the misnagid, how the Rebbe tended this person, to this woman, with total anonymity, he goes to shul there and he said, what do you say about our Rebbe? He goes to say, Slichas in Himmel, in heaven. And he responded to the misnagid, Im lo lemala mezeh, if not higher. If not higher. And this story is known as Im lo lemala mezeh. This is anonymity where it can get you, not only to heaven, if not higher. To be continued, Mizrat Hashem.